Hello and welcome to episode 179 of Enough. My name is Mike Hurley and I'm joined as always by my good friend, one of my best friends in the entire world and the writer of Minimal Mac, Mr. Patrick Roan. Hello, sir.
Feel the love. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing very well. You know what made me... Well, obviously, I do feel that way about you. It made me think about that. 179 episodes.
I know, man. That's just crazy.
We are fast approaching 200, so...
We're gonna have to come up with something special again for 200, right?
Yeah, we will. I just remember episode 100 and how much.
Let's not do what we did for 100.
I say fun in inverted commas. I think it was a great episode. I think it came out really well, but boy, that took a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of work. We're not going to do that again.
No, was it like 10 people on a call or something?
Yeah,
something crazy like that.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. As David Foster Wallace said, a supposedly fun thing we'll never do again. We should never do again.
Yeah. That is a great way to put it. But we'll think of something, or we'll forget that it's coming, and then just we'll be like, oh, it's 200.
Whoops.
Which I know I've done. Like, I've definitely done that with, anniversary episodes.
Mm.
So, I would, like a year will come about, because some of our episodes are like seasons. So it's like season one, blah, blah, blah. So you don't think, oh, it's episode 50. You know, it means that the year's coming up now.
Yeah. It may be one of those things where we forget it. And then we're like, 200 comes around. We're like, oh, shoot, why didn't we plan something special for this?
I think the good thing now, because...
There was one that happened with, and I can't remember what it was.
I think it might have been a year.
It might have been 1 year, yeah.
But I think the good thing now, because we're weekly and not like we don't record two a week, or that it will be easier to tick up to that point.
Yeah, it's slowing down, as it were, from when we were doing two shows a week, in which case, that number doubled every week. Increased by two every week, and so we got to these kind of landmarks.
Much faster. That's work. We haven't been doing this show for 179 weeks, as incredible as that would be. Nearly.
Yeah. Well, that would be incredible. But we've been doing them for a while. I mean, this was the first other show on the 70 Decibels Network before there was a 70 Decibels Network.
Yeah, it was my second podcast. This was the show that...
It kind of started the network.
It did. It broke me into the public realm, as it were. Yeah. Lots of people found out about me on that day. Episode one, Minimal Mac Misconceptions.
Wow, you're really fast at finding those things.
That one was in my brain. I just remember that. I must remember to tell you the download numbers of that episode.
Okay, noted. Yeah, I need to... Gosh, I don't do enough of, going back and, listening to these things, long after the fact.
Don't do it.
But I do it with my writing, right? And one of the reasons I do it with my writing is that it's interesting to kind of revisit to see kind of how far I've come or things that I still need to work on. It's a good gauge of kind of knowing where you're at and what you've learned and, if you have progressed. And so it would be interesting to go back. I mean, sometimes it is painful to read that really old writing, right? Sometimes I dig out stuff that I wrote when I was, I don't know, in high school or in my 20s. And I'm like, oh, jeepers, I can't even imagine how bad this was, but how at the time I thought it was great, right? I thought this was oh my gosh, I've got so much talent. And it's horrible.
The funny thing, in those days, when we started out for a long time, I didn't talk. During the episodes, I just didn't say anything.
Yeah.
It was strange just because I wasn't as confident as I was then, and didn't feel like I really had that much to add. Maybe I still don't, but at least now I believe I do.
There you go. No, you have plenty to add, and I'm very, very happy for your presence, and I really could not do this on my own. I just couldn't. I mean, it's not just from a skills perspective and a time perspective. I could not just sit here and talk into a mic on my own, and I need to have someone on the other side that I'm talking to and that's asking questions when they need to be asked, and that's challenging me a little bit when I need to be challenged. And that's, you know, it's all good. It all makes for a better podcast.
So now we finish the love-in, which has been the first 5 minutes of this episode.
So what's going on with you?
I wanted to just like, for some reason, I just wanted to mention this quickly today.
All right.
Just because I was very excited yesterday. I recorded episode number 19 of Command Space with Mike Rohde, our good friend Mike Rohde.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the end of the episode, I did a short interview, a short 15-minute interview with Michael Simmons of Flexibits, the creators of Fantastic Owl.
Yeah, yeah. Then they just came out with the iOS app of some ilk, right?
Yeah, and I was really happy with I mean, you know, I always feel that the interviews are great quality and stuff like that. You know, I'm very lucky to have good guests, and I feel like I'm on the top of my game on that show at the moment. But I just really loved the format of the show, because it's kind of when I started doing Command Space again, that was the kind of format that I wanted, like a late night talk show, you know, like your Letterman or something like that. You know, you have multiple guests and you have your sort of the highlight guest is the biggest interview, and then, you know, some littler guests. I maybe have done it the wrong way round on this episode just because of the way that I recorded it, but it's more really I just want people's feedback, and you know, I want people to listen and tell me what they think, and I'm already I'm hoping for next week's episode actually to do the same. I'm going to be talking to Neelai Patel of The Verge. He's my main guest for the week. But then I'm going to be talking to Ged of the Icon Factory.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're releasing Twitterific 5 this week.
Yeah, yeah.
So the same sort of deal. I mean, so it will be like, you know, a week removed. How has it been? I mean, in a way, I kind of prefer to talk to developers like a week after the apps have launched, because I want to get from them, you know, once things have calmed down, how has reception been and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, I just feel like my listeners don't need to hear about the features of the app, which is all you'd be talking about on day one. And, you know, if people disagree with that, then I will do better at scheduling. But
I mean, it would be more promotion than, say, you know, kind of reflection.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I like. I like to take 15 minutes, talk about what I like about the app, get their feelings on it, and then sort of say, you know, how has such and such been? You know, like I got to talk to Michael about the fact that they, for a short time, were beating Angry Birds Star Wars on the paid app chart. I mean, and that's incredible, right?
That's,
but
that's
I wouldn't
huge.
Have got that if I would have spoken to him on day one. Yeah. Plus as well, I mean, I like to, you know, if we are going to talk about the app, I like to have a good time of my own with it. You know, I like to be able to spend some time with the application itself.
Yeah, so you can have some questions to ask, things to talk about, so you can know what you're talking about. I mean, that's the thing. It's really, really difficult to, you know, I'm declining more and more beta requests these, you know, and like, you know, ooh, check out, you know, you want to test flight invite, so you can check out this app before we release it, and we think it's really cool or whatever. And I'm just like, you know, that'd be great and fun and all. I just don't think I'm going to have the time.
See,
really don't.
With me, with beta invites, I love getting them, but for apps that I want to test, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, if that makes sense.
I am, you know, because I'm impatient with that sort of stuff. Like, yeah. I'm testing a couple of apps at the moment, only a couple, but they're apps that I have used in these, like, new versions of them. And that's what I like to do, really, because then I can give feedback and things like that. Because I feel like if I'm going to test, then I want to be able to give feedback. So that means I have to use it, in my opinion, a lot. So, you know, I've had people send me games and things before, and I just haven't really liked the game. And then I feel like I'm not being an adequate enough tester for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's why I like to test things
totally
that I know that I'll enjoy. So that way we're both going to get the most out of that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And this similar thing for me, right? I mean, if it's something that I know either A, I already use daily and this is like the next version of X, or B, if it's something I know I want and I'm going to use and that sort of thing, then it's a no-brainer. But increasingly it is stuff like I know that this is not going to become part of my regular workflow, as it were. And so I know I'm not going to make special time to spend with this. And I don't know. I'm being a little bit more protective of such things, especially since I get so many of them.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of have to be. I mean, luckily I don't get too many, so it works out, yeah. Works out okay for me. So we do have some topics today.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of leads into this, and that is, so for instance, on Command Space, you've been doing that same, you know, you've had a format for a while, and you had one that you had in your head, but you hadn't actually really done it, mm-hmm. hadn't actually really tried. What was it that motivated you to try that format all of a sudden this week? Is it just like the stars aligned and it just so happened that you were able to talk to Flexibits guy at the same time
Mike was
going to be on, and it just kind of happened that way?
There's an interesting thing that this week had sort of as enlightened me too. So I have to book the show many weeks in advance. Like, I have to book the guest many weeks in advance because the show needs a guest. So I have to make sure I've got them.
Right.
But with developers, especially in the iOS world, they release their applications out of the blue. Or they will say they're going to release it.
When they're ready.
Yeah. But I mean, it's out of the blue, right? So you get a lot more developers these days that aren't open with the development process because with the Apple Store, like the iOS App Store rules, they don't know when something's going to be released until it's approved. So the problem I have with trying to interview developers is I can't schedule them very well. So I was talking with the guys at Flexibits when I found out that the app was going to be released, about talking with them, and I found out the date, and I was lucky enough to get to play around with the app a little bit beforehand. But, you know, I wanted to try and schedule with them, and obviously scheduling around a launch for some, you know, for these guys is difficult because they're so busy. So I figured I would, you know, throw them in at the end of an episode because I could just grab 15 minutes with them whenever I could and edit it in. And that's what I'm going to do again with the guys from Icon Factory. Because trying to talk to developers, you need, I don't want to leave it 2 months distance from the application launch. Because if we are going to be talking about the apps, you know?
So you
don't want to leave it too long unless it's poignant to a discussion. You know, like I've spoken to Nick Fletcher of Real Mac Software. But we just had a discussion around development and you know, the changing landscape of app development. As opposed to, let's talk about the newest update to Clear, which hadn't even been announced when I spoke to him. I think it was a couple of days later. Jammy sod. So I want to try and get more of these people involved, but I can't guarantee I can book them sufficiently to get a full episode out of it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so in a way, you know, one of the things that I face and one of the things I want to talk about today is breaking out of my own comfort zones, right? Mm-hmm. I did a post on patrickrone.com about basically I looked at the shelf in my library. I have a library. It's just a small room, but it's our, you know, kind of den TV watching area and kind of, we call it the library because it's, you know, got all of our books in there. And one of those shelves I reserve for the books that I've read this year. I tend to still like physical books for the most part. I do read some Kindle stuff and, you know, some iBook stuff, but mostly physical books because I'm old school like that. Mm-hmm. But also a book, when I'm done with it, I put it on that shelf. And so I get to the end of a year like this and I look at that shelf and I have a kind of nice snapshot of all the things I've learned or have been engaged with throughout the course of the year. And I say learned because I mainly read nonfiction. I almost never read fiction. And what's sad is, you know, so I've got a whole nother shelf of like books on deck that is filled mostly with fiction. And the reason it's filled mostly with fiction is that those things I've bought with the intention of reading one day haven't.
Yeah.
They just sit there while, you know, hey, what do I want to read next? I go to that shelf and, oh, let me pull off the one or two nonfiction books that are there and completely ignore the 20 or so fiction books that are there.
Fiction, I mean, I think it might be because of the way that your brain is, and it's some of the way my brain is. I find fiction harder to get my teeth into because I like to learn more, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's it, right? I feel almost like, you know, fiction is kind of meant for entertainment and escape. And anyone who knows me by now knows that I don't make a lot of room in my life for that. I'm not saying that that's a good thing. In fact, that's perhaps a bad thing, right? I don't read a lot of fiction. I don't really watch TV, as I've discussed. We've got the kind of one show at a time rule that Bethany and I have. And Beatrix too, because she's a kid and she gets addicted to one show and she wants to watch like every episode of it for, I don't know, months. Lately, that's She-Ra. Yes, She-Ra. That horrible He-Man spinoff from...
I thought it couldn't have been that. How weird.
Oh, she's just addicted to it. Oh my gosh, it's killing me. And the early ones, the first ones, the original ones were so bad. I mean, they're all bad, but the very first ones were the worst. Oh, well, in any case. I don't make a lot of room in my life for that. Because like you said, it's like, I feel like I'm reading nonfiction, it's not really quote unquote entertainment. It's always research and I'm learning something and wow, this is fascinating. And I feel like I'm not wasting time, as bad as that sounds. And it's not that. It really isn't, because there is wonderful fiction out there, both contemporary and old. There's plenty of novels that I just love that are clearly fiction. You know, Catcher in the Rye, for instance. You know, some of those classics, right? You know, I don't know, The Fountainhead and... you name it. Bottom line is, it's not like I don't read fiction and haven't read fiction. I just don't make time for it anymore and haven't for years. And so I put up this list. I made a list of all the books I read this year so far. Mm-hmm. I'll probably finish a couple of more before the year's up. It's about 35 books, actually. It's about a book every 10 days, which I feel pretty good about.
You should. Do you want to know how many books I finished this year?
Yeah.
How many did you finish?
About 35 so
subtract,
far.
Subtract 35.
Oh, Michael.
I know. It's terrible. Just not a reader.
Here's what I do. My wife does it too. When we lay down, you know, for bed at night, we generally read for a half hour to an hour before turning off the light. You know, so she, and this is why we don't have any more children. because we go to bed with our books and our Kindles. But no, seriously. So that's how I squeeze it in, right? I read about an hour a night, every night. If you think I read a lot of books, my wife reads at least two books a week. Because she's an extremely fast reader. Especially when it comes to fiction. And that's the other thing too with the fiction, right? Is that I actually have, because she reads so many books and because my Kindle, you know, reading account on the iPad and the iPhone is hooked up to her account, I probably have a good 400 books available to me right there that I have to read, right? Oh, well, in any case, I digress. Bottom line is, I posted that list. I actually got some feedback from close friends about the lack of fiction. Randy Murray, I'm looking at you as being one of them. And, you know, he's right. And I think that 2013 is going to be the year where I do a better job of identifying and breaking out of ruts. I think if I'm going to make any New Year's resolution, I don't believe in those. But if I were to believe in those,
if I did and I were,
that would be high up on the list. I'm going to try my best to identify these many ruts in my life and break out of them, because I think that life is too short to do the same thing over and over and over again, or to get into some comfort zone and never deviate from it. I think if you want to, I don't know, inject a bit of fun and joy and wonder in your life, you need to make the room for it. You need to choose it. It needs to be a conscious choice, and it needs to be a guilt-free one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really easy in our society, Western society especially, to, you know, work all the time and think that there's something noble about that. When, in fact, I don't know. I don't want to go to my grave thinking that all I did was work and learn and never made room for fun and never made room for escape.
Unless, Pat, you find learning fun. Like, that's not a problem.
Yeah, I do.
You bookworm nerd.
Well, I do. There's no question about that. But I do also find, you know, so the book I started reading here that I'm going to likely finish before the end of the year I have a friend, Kelly McCullough. Actually, he and my wife are friends long before we were. They've known each other since childhood. They often joke that they're twins because they actually have the same birth date. Not the same birthday, but the same birth date. They were actually born, I think, like just minutes apart from each other on the same day. And he's a science fiction writer. A tremendous one at that. If you look up his stuff, Kelly McCullough, on Amazon, you're going to come up with quite a few books. But his most recent series is actually a kind of mashup between fantasy and detective pulp noir, kind of that hard-boiled detective noir and fantasy, called the Fallen Blade series. It begins with the book Broken Blade, and that's what I'm currently reading right now. And it's fantastic so far. I'm four chapters into it, and I love the, you know, just to give you an idea, when's the last time a fantasy book opened up with the sentence, "Trouble wore a red dress." I love that. Love that.
That is pretty cool, actually. I'm going to link to Kelly's Amazon page in the show notes.
Yeah.
Can check out anything that he's written.
Yeah, yeah. But especially check out this Fallen Blade series, because it's a lot of fun and it's really, really inventive. And at the clip I'm going, my guess is that I'll probably get through the first two books in the series before the end of the year.
I expect the only book that I read this year to actually be the Sketchnote Handbook, which is Mike wrote. That's what we spoke about in Command Space. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and that's I'm waiting for my copy to arrive because I ordered the special video edition.
Yep,
and that takes a little bit longer.
That is the one to get. I mean, I'm just really. I'm really excited for it. I've wanted it for a long time, and it's not really reading as much as it is doing, you know,
Yeah, yeah. And I actually have bugged Mike for that book literally for years. For years. Like every time we talked, several times a year, I would say, where's the book, Mike? I want the book. And it's great that you talk about this stuff. It's great that you do this stuff. It's great that you post the pretty pictures on the Flickr and the blog. And, you know, you've got the little sketchnote blog now going. Where's the book? I want a book of this. Mm-hmm. I want a book that teaches me how to do this. Here it is. Here it is. Highly recommended. So let's talk for a bit. I think it's time. I think it's time to talk about our good friends.
Our good friends, that they are indeed good friends.
Yeah, at Squarespace.
Those good friends at Squarespace is what they're actually called.
Squarespace.
Except no substitute, Patrick, as they say.
There really isn't one, is there?
Not that I've come across. I'm sure there can't be. Do you know why? Because Squarespace is a fully hosted, completely managed environment for creating and maintaining a beautiful website, blog, or portfolio. There is nobody that gives you services quite like Squarespace. Because not only do they give you all of this, they give you award-winning customer support. So when you need to help, if you need help with setting up your website, they're only a few clicks away. They have live online workshops to help walk you through step-by-step everything you need to know to build your amazing site. With fantastic tools, like their beautiful templates. They are beautiful, clean. They let your content do all of the talking. And every one of the templates with the new Squarespace 6 features responsive web design to make sure that your site scales beautifully to look fantastic on absolutely any device size at all. Everything in the Squarespace platform is drag and drop too, which makes it really easy and fun to use. You can just select blocks of content such as photos, videos, text, and many, many more, like social media content, lots of fun stuff. And you drag them into place and you can move them around the page with ease. You do not have to worry about any of this. You don't have to worry about getting a coder. You don't have to worry about getting a designer, a developer. You have all of the tools to do things in a fantastic way, all in the browser. You can import your content from your current blog. You can easily set up sharing and syncing with your social media accounts. The structure is fantastic. The code is clean. It's amazing for SEO. You don't need to worry about any of that stuff. It's absolutely great. I love Squarespace. I've been using them for many, many years, and they really do get my recommendation, a very strong recommendation for me. If you're looking to create an amazing website, they are the people. You don't need a credit card to try out Squarespace. I can give you a free trial. Just go to squarespace.com/70decibels and you can sign up there. Squarespace is then $10 a month if you decide to purchase for the standard plan and $20 a month for the unlimited plan. If you sign up for a year up front, you automatically get 20% off that price. And if you sign up for 2 years up front, you'll get 25% off. And with either of their annual plan options, you get a free custom domain name, which is so you just say what you want. If it's available, they will integrate it very simply at the checkout screen. If you decide to purchase, though, you want to click enter an offer code at the pricing information and at checkout, and enter the code 70decibels12. That's 70decibels12, and you will get an additional 10% off your first purchase. So go check out Squarespace now. Everything you need to make an amazing website. Thank you to Squarespace.
Squarespace is the way to go, man.
They really are. They are the bee's knees, I believe. They're the bee's knees.
The bee's knees.
The bee's knees. They can use that. That's a new Squarespace tagline. Squarespace, the bee's knees.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I'm looking at... Because they came out... I think we talked about this before, but they came out with these really nice kind of businessy templates.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Looking at those right now for a potential project for a client.
I'm going to be redoing my site very soon for reasons that will become apparent in the near future, and I'm probably going to use one of the I will probably use one of the business templates just because they look so great.
Yeah, yeah. Wait a second here. Where was that? Because there was one I was looking at. hold on. Let me look. Sorry.
Squarespace.com/templates.
Yeah. Templates. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Just give me a second. I'm clicking on the business.
Longer the ad. This is just entertaining content, I think. Yeah. Listen to Patrick use the internet.
Yes, that's pretty much it.
The business templates.
That's it. The dovetail.
Dovetail, yeah, really great.
And that dovetail.
Really nice. And then they have Ishimoto, front row, and five. And I think they have some more, like Warden, I believe, is another one. Look at this one. Oh, Pat, I'm finding more. It seems like they just put more and more up there. There's this, oh my God, look at this. There's one Aviator. And it's a really beautiful, like for restaurants and stuff.
Wow. Look at that
bad boy. Anyway, we need to stop. We need to carry on with the rest of the show.
No, why? You know what? Aviator, I mean, it looks like those, personal pages. Like mine at patrickrone.net.
Yes, they like the about.me type.
Yeah, the about.me sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But oh my gosh, that is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. I might have to rethink a few things here.
Very nice.
Oh, wait. I got to look at the live demo. Sorry. This is a podcast, right? You guys did come to listen to things, right? This is great. In any case, you know what we don't do enough, Michael?
On enough.
I don't really know if we've ever done that. And it's a failure, a real failure on our parts. And I don't know if this, happens to you as much. You see as much of it. I try to forward this stuff when it comes, and especially when it mentions the podcast or what have you. But I know I fail at that sometimes. But here, do you want to know why I love email and why I love my email inbox?
I would love to know why.
while most people hate it, one of those reasons is because at least once a day, sometimes several times a day, I get a thank you email in my inbox.
Yeah.
Whether it be from a listener or someone who's read my books or someone who reads Minimal Mac or someone who just, follows me on Twitter or does any combination of those things or what have you. At least once a day, one of those people out there reaches out to me and says, thank you. I really appreciate, I really loved enough and I enjoyed the book, or I really appreciate the work that you do, or I really love Minimal Mac and, it's really changed the way that I, approach technology, or every single day I get one of these. Sometimes I get several a day. I really love the podcast. And not just in my email inbox. I get at replies on the AppNet and the Twitter, essentially saying the same things.
Not that you see the Twitter ones, of course.
I do look at the Twitter
ones. Oh, you do you, Patrick Rone?
Every now and then I open up the Twitter and take a look at like people who have sent me messages and whatnot. I don't completely ignore the stuff there. I'm really, really appreciative and humbled by this. And I know, Mike, you get a lot of great positive feedback too.
Oh, right? It's basically one of the reasons that I love Twitter is because I get to talk to people that listen, and very frequently, I get to talk to fantastic people who always have such great things to say. And it really does. I know this is a very mushy thing to say, but the thank yous that I get, like, so people, say, oh, I really love this, thanks so much for providing me with something to listen to on my commute today. And that kind of makes all of this worthwhile? Like, I love podcasting. Like, I do it because it's my hobby. And if nobody listened, because trust me, there was a time when nobody listened, and I continue to do it because I love it, because I get to talk to you guys. And you know, every show that I create is a show that I would listen to. And instead of having to listen to it, I get to participate in it. And that's important for me. And it's opened, you know, my world up to a lot of opportunities. But the most important thing is to create something that people enjoy, and to have people contact me and just thank me for giving them some entertainment is by far and away the best thing about this. It's just the best. And I love it very much.
And I don't get enough chance, and we don't take enough time out, I think, to on this show in a very public form. We say it, and I think people know it, but I mean, I'm devoting an entire segment to this. Thank you. If you're listening to this, I'm speaking directly to you right now, individually, each and every one of you. Thank you so, so much. You have no idea how on the days when it's so hard, to make it here, you know, when we've had other things. Michael, you were just telling me before the podcast that you're a bit on edge today, mm-hmm. that you really have a great day, right?
Exactly. Bad day today, but this, yeah, you are right. Like, if I had had all of the things today that I have had bugging me today, but didn't have people complimenting me on Command Space yesterday, it would have been a much worse day.
And that's exactly it, right? Is that no matter what happens throughout our days, that one message, that one piece of feedback, that one person on the other end of the speaker listening means the world to us. It means the world to me. I know it means the world to Michael. And we really, really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you for every piece of feedback you sent. Thank you for when you send feedback that is, you know, maybe, you know, gosh, I disagree with this, or I wish you had done that. You do so in the nicest, kindest way, with respect, and you generally end it with, I disagreed with this, but I love the show. Thanks, and I'll keep listening. Oh my gosh, you know? And I wonder, because here's the thing, right? I rarely get negative email. I couldn't even tell you the last time I got something that was just plainly negative. And that should tell you something. That being that it's been so long that I can't remember it. I just don't remember it. And believe me, I would remember the negative stuff would fester, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the sort of stuff that, like, you know, 1,000 thank yous couldn't eradicate. So the fact that I can't remember one is telling. That means I haven't gotten one. And I haven't gotten one in a very, very, very long time. Now, of course, by saying this, I know that someone out there is going to go out of their way to send one. And that's okay. I'm expecting that. But I'm just saying that it's overwhelmingly positive.
Indeed. It's great.
It literally, on some days, is what gets me out of bed. I can't state that more plainly enough. It really does. And so, you know, thanks everyone. Thanks to each and every one of you out there. Really, we don't take enough time to do it on these shows. And, you know, it's kind of at the end, oh, thanks for listening. I mean, no, we really mean it.
Yeah, like, really, thank you very much, because if you're not here, then, you know, then
we're not here.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no reason for us to be here.
Except for the fact that we enjoy it, but you know what we're saying. You know, we are talking directly to somebody, otherwise we're not talking to anybody, are we?
Yeah, it's true.
And the show isn't ending, by the way. Just want to make that clear. There will be another episode next week.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it did sound kind of sound like, you know, well, this is our final episode.
Well, because, you know, listeners to The Pen Addict will recognize this, because basically me and Brad had an episode where Brad was complaining about how the pen writing industry was becoming a bit difficult, because he felt like it was a lot of people, like, you know, sort of taking review products and, you know, it basically the same ails of the technology industry. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, you know, I need to, he says, you know, I'm going to take a break from writing the Pen Addict for a bit. And then we didn't do an episode for a couple of months. Like, and that wasn't the intention. We were planning to do the next week. And then he just sent me a DM and he was like, I need to take a break from everything.
Wow.
Which worked. I mean, cause he was, you know, he was moving house and, I'm pleased that he did that, because otherwise the show could have gone away forever. You know, you force somebody to do something and they will start to resent it. But now we're back better than ever. But yes, I just want to point out the show's not ending. Just, I think it's a trifecta of one, talking about rebranding, then also at the start of the show, reminiscing a little bit, and now thanking everyone for listening. I mean, and enough. And,
well, I didn't even think about that, but it does. I guess put in that context, yeah, it kind of comes off that way.
God help me, if enough podcasts not already started, you know, going away. I don't want to add to that any more than I already have.
Yeah, no, we're not going anywhere, folks. I just wanted to take the time out, and don't be surprised if you hear me saying the exact same thing. You know, I don't know. 4 or 5 months from now, just simply because I don't think enough of us do it. I don't think enough of us really go out of our way to say, you know, to thank you. You know, I don't know how many, you know, and I should take a page here. I should take a lesson here. I should, you know, put up something on Minimal Mac just saying, thank you. Thank you for coming and reading. That we online writers take a lot for granted. We take the fact that, you know, 2 or 3 or 5,000 or 10,000, or in Gerber's case, a few hundred thousand are showing up to read. And we don't, in my opinion, often enough take the time to just say thank you. Specifically, for no reason other than the fact that you mean it.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So Patrick, well, if people want to thank you back, I guess they can do that in a couple of ways. They can they can contact you via app.net. You are Patrick Ryan, PatrickRyan.
Yeah, and by the way, since we're talking about email, Patrick@PatrickRone.com. PatrickRyanE.
Jumped right in. I was just about to say it.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry.
I really prefer Twitter, just because I like to respond there. I mean, you can feel free to email me as well. You can go to 70decibels.com/contact. That's a good way to email me. It's easier than an email address, I think. But I am iMike, iMyke. You can hit me up on Twitter or app.net. I'm on both. I also have a tent.is profile, but I've never even logged into it. Just took the name. So don't, please don't. I won't see it. You can. If you want to say something nasty, you can go to tent.is and tent.is, or tentis, as some people call it, which I find extremely.
Tentis?
Yeah. Tentis? That's a Benjaminism, I believe we call them.
Gotcha. Tentis.
Tentis. Like, it makes me think of tetanus, but that's something. That's totally different. But yeah, I'm Mike, and he is Patrick Roan, and you find us there. So Patrick, it's been a pleasure as always, sir. And we will, of course, be back next week. I think we're going to be joined by Dave Kaler next week, actually.
Oh, did you book that for next week?
Book that.
Where are we going to talk about? Because I've given up arguing, you know, with him about the thing that he took such disagreement over, but that's okay. I conceded his rightness. I don't know why he wants to even be on this show.
I don't know what you're referring to anymore.
I don't know either.
Oh, okay. Because you said some stuff today on app.net about things you wanted to talk about, and he said he wanted to talk about them. So he said he wanted to talk about the second point. Your second point was, at what point Apple knew it was designing a drug?
a drug delivery system, actually, more accurately, but yes.
That's what. So that's what we're going to talk about with me, you, and Dave are going to talk about that.
I was in a real conspiracy theory mood yesterday for some reason. And well, like I said, I concede the point. I'm misstating that, but we can talk a little bit more about that next week.
We can. So something to look forward to. Thank you. Right. Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of Enough. I'm Mike Hurley, and he's Patrick Roan.
We'll chat later.
Cheers.
Cheers.